Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Betsy Woodruff, a Buckley Fellow and reporter at National Review, and for Jim Garrity today, who's allegedly out, Betsy, with laryngitis. I don't know what he was doing. The Jets weren't playing last night, so he doesn't really have a good excuse for not having a voice, but hopefully he's on the mend. But we're thrilled to have you with us again, and we certainly have plenty to talk about as the Middle East is on fire. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And other issues going on as well. One of the things that kind of got overshadowed, which is amazing given all the things going on this week, as a result of the Middle East coverage, is the decision of the Fed on Thursday to go to QE3, Quantitative Easing 3, which, as you know, the higher the sequel number, Betsy, the worse the movie gets. But on to the reaction now, which I think has been pretty good on a number of fronts from the right. Here's Ron Paul, who's obviously no fan of the Fed, talking about what he sees as really going on here.
The one thing that Bernanke has not achieved that frustrates him, I can tell, is he gets no economic growth. He doesn't do anything with the unemployment numbers. And from my viewpoint, I think the country should have panicked over the fact of what the Fed is saying, that we've lost control. And the only thing we have left is massively creating new money out of thin air, which hasn't worked before, and it's not going to work this time.
Ron Paul on Bloomberg. No surprise that he is not a fan of this at all. Worried about inflation fears and a whole lot more. Mitt Romney talking to George Stephanopoulos on ABC, Betsy, and he says that this is a tantamount to a confession that Obama's been a failure on the economy here.
Well, what Bernanke's doing is saying that what the president's saying is wrong. The president's saying the economy's making progress, coming back. Bernanke's saying, no, it's not. I got to print more money. I don't think what Bernanke is doing is going to get the economy going.
So, Betsy, I'm not sure that conservatives want to follow Ron Paul's advice and simply panic. But on the other hand, I think Romney's turned this around into a pretty convincing argument against what Obama's been all about for the last 3 years.
Absolutely. I think it definitely merits some eyebrow raising. And an important detail I remember is that anytime the Fed takes a significant change in its tack right before an election, regardless of the potential of some sort of political involvement, it definitely looks bad. And then we have to remember, too, that Romney's made it clear that he wouldn't reappoint Bernanke to his seat as the chair of the Fed, so he might be worried about job security.
But Mitt Romney's good about turning around the private sector, so Ben Bernanke should actually make a little bit more if Romney's elected president, depending on what his private sector options are.
I know. It sounds like he doesn't see it that way, though.
I guess not. He kind of likes his job. But, you know, I remember,
can't blame him.
I remember back in 2000, I think George W. Bush had just been elected, and he suggested to Alan Greenspan then not to raise interest rates, and howls of outrage at how the administration is not to be, you know, trying to influence the Fed and so forth now. So for this move to come just a few weeks before the election certainly raises eyebrows, as you said. I don't know that we have any direct evidence that that this is calculated on an electoral timetable, but you have to wonder, certainly.
It definitely looks bad. They don't seem too stressed about PR.
On to martini number two now. And as Jim and I like to say, back when the Arab Spring was unfolding last year, particularly our days, not weeks, that turn into months mission in Libya, the Middle East pretty much owns our bad martini. They really kind of sponsor the bad martini. And obviously what we've seen this week is truly horrific, especially what happened to our diplomatic personnel and even our ambassador in Libya. But there's been massive violent protests, obviously, in Egypt and Yemen. And now today it's Tunisia. They're attacking embassies of countries that you can't even pretend have access to this film that supposedly is driving all of this radical Muslim outrage. But the thing we're going to focus on here for the next couple minutes, Obama's response to this during an interview with Telemundo's Jose Diaz-Balart, a very simple question from Diaz-Balart and Obama's response.
Would you consider the current Egyptian regime an ally of the United States?
I don't think that we would consider them an ally, but we don't consider them an enemy. They are a new government that is trying to find its way.
And so that response was not well received by a lot of people, including his own administration, which quickly tried to clarify. And even over on the Obama File Network of MSNBC, here's Chuck Todd talking with NBC News Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Richard Engel about what Obama had to say.
First reaction, before you give me a report, of the president saying Egypt was not an ally nor an enemy.
Yeah, I almost had to sit down when I heard that. For the last 40 years, the United States has had two main allies, Arab allies, in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia and Egypt. the other ally in the Middle East being Israel. So for the president to come out and say, well, he's not exactly sure if Egypt is an ally anymore, but it's not an enemy, that is a significant change in the perspective of Washington toward this country, the biggest country in the Arab world.
So, Betsy, this is just going from bad to worse. I would probably argue that that quote-unquote gaffe is a little bit worse than any sort of complaint about the timing of Mitt Romney's statement the other day.
Well, it's astounding that he'd make a major foreign policy statement offhandedly in an interview with Telemundo. I mean, Egypt has been one of our top three allies in the Middle East for the last 33 years. And just to randomly state, oh, they're not really our ally anymore, I mean, that's just shocking.
I'm not sure. I'll let you weigh in on this, too. I'm not sure the best way to defuse that was for Jay Carney and some of the other folks to say that the term ally is a diplomatic term of art, which apparently means that the word doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. So that's must make the rest of our quote-unquote allies feel really great.
On to martini number three now, Betsy. And the raft of polls that we've seen coming out of the Democratic convention makes you wonder if all of these people are doing their polls in English or what they're doing with their samples or I don't know how to interpret this because you've got Rasmussen saying Romney's up 3. You've got CBS saying Obama's up 8 among registered voters, 3 among likely voters. And they've got a bunch of state polls that look like things are headed Obama's way. But other polls are showing something different. So how do you read it all?
Yeah, something important to remember is that the CBS Wall Street Journal poll has had a history of just bringing up kind of weird numbers and outliers. And Christian Hines pointed this out on the Hill's GOP 2012 blog. He went through, I guess, some of the past polls that they've taken. And, you know, previously they said that Obama was up by 12% in Ohio. They put him up by 17% in Virginia. So if we're looking at this specific poll and as an example of a recent surge or bounce post-convention, that just doesn't really make sense, especially given the aggregate poll numbers show that the race are much closer in those swing states.
You know, when PPP is the voice of reason in national polling, that perhaps some of these others are going to at least in comparison. We'll find out come November 6th which of these outfits is correct. But we know that most of them are going to be wrong because nobody seems to agree with each other other than the fact that if you throw it into the likely voter model, it's probably within the margin of error.
Right. I guess all we really know is that it's going to be tight.
The one thing we're not seeing right now, though, Betsy, is a lot of state-by-state polls showing Mitt Romney ahead. So how worried should conservatives be about that?
I would say considerably. You know, it'll take some time to see if the convention bump, as it were, evens out. But yeah, it's definitely not time to, you know, sit back and relax.
No relaxing, no panicking yet, though. We still have 3 presidential debates, a vice presidential debate, and obviously, as we've seen this week, a whole lot of news to unfold before we get anywhere close to Election Day. So, Betsy, as always, great to have you with us. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Betsy Woodruff, Buckley Fellow and reporter at National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join Jim Garrity and I on Monday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.